Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Pajamski comes left side off a Butler screen, draws a crowd. Bounce pass back out to Jimmy, above the break left side, shows the ball to Odama, switches, gets it over to Payton, Payton back to Butler, six on the shot clock, takes a straightaway three and hit it.
Wow.
Ice water running through his veins, 25-18, Warriors lead by seven. Butler on the inbounds, gets hit, shot goes up, he goes in, he just threw it up after the contact, he got a back screen, laid it up with his back to the basket, and got the foul call. Pajamski in deep, wide open, didn't shoot. He got to Butler. He goes on dribble drive, muscle move, up and good, and he gets another foul call.
Wow, is that strong.
Man-like move by Butler.
Not only was it a man-like move, he finished with the left hand.
Butler with the ball on the far wing. Checks the clock with seven to Draymond. Back to Butler with five. Dribbles in on Bane. Goes up strong and banked it home with 10 seconds to go in the quarter. 94-91.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. Catch the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibbs every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Including tomorrow. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah.
That's a good lead-in.
Including next week and the week after.
Well, that'll be the first question.
Early June? July?
I'm going to start the conversation tomorrow with Steve. Is this it?
Yeah.
Or?
And I'll follow up with Steve. Did we lose you?
Yeah. You should do that at the end.
Right.
Because this time he might be like,
yeah. You lost me.
Yeah.
And he might hit us with a Steph Curry of do me a favor, leave me alone, which is what Steph said right at the end of his exit interview.
Right.
Y'all can do me a favor, leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we will for a little while.
Yeah.
Not very long, though.
No. Just a 15-second story about my dream last night. I dreamt that I was at a party at the Curry house with Aisha, Steph, all the kids. You were there. Like, a bunch of media people were there. I was the first one there, the last one to leave.
Was Mark Grandy there? Because he gets invited to all the stuff.
I didn't see Grandy.
Okay.
You were there.
I was there.
And, Tim Kawakami was there. And I believe Ann Killian was there. My dream... It's one of those dreams that it felt like it went on and on and on and on and on. And I'll just say this as the final takeaway. The Currys could not have been nicer.
Well, that's probably...
Accommodating.
Yeah.
I stayed late, and it was one of those dreams. And I woke up,
How late?
Well, it was like a day party, so I didn't stay late. It was like one of those barbecue deals, but I woke up and I was like... It was one of those dreams. I was like, that was cool.
I found out on our trip to Mexico over the weekend that a day party is now being called a darty.
Fellow kids.
Yeah.
The kids.
Yeah, the kids.
And Steiny mentioned one earlier.
They call it a darty.
In a brief, Steiny's daughter had one earlier. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But
I didn't much care for that.
Yeah.
A darty.
Yeah.
You guys want to go to a darty? God.
Okay. What are we doing? Anyway, that was my dream.
Anyway, so the Currys threw a darty and you were there.
Yeah.
And I was there.
Very accommodating.
And everybody had a wonderful time.
We had a great time.
So how often do you remember your dreams?
I'd say one in four or five. Ever since I got off the
lettuce.
How
do you know?
Because when you wake up, it's like...
No, but when you say one in four or five, how do you know about how many you don't remember?
Because every night I dream and...
I know scientists say that, but do you feel that?
Well, there are times when you because you wake up at 3 and at 5, whatever. You wake up throughout the course of the night, and there's times I wake up at 3 and it's like, ooh, that I want to remember that dream. And then you wake up again at like 6 and it's like, I can't remember that dream.
No, but I mean, like, how often do you even know that you have, like, I rarely, if ever, even know that I just wake up and I'm right. Like, that's my 83rd night in a row with no dreams.
I would say 1 in 4 or 5 days I wake up and it's like, I remember one of the dreams.
Okay.
And normally you dream like 3 or 4 times throughout the course of a sleep. Like
that's what they tell
your
me.
REM cycle.
Yeah, like I don't know that at all.
Boys,
but
you know, we're looking for creative content to get into over the summer. What if we did a dream journal radio where we just remember our dreams and come in and talk about them?
I'm gonna have to take the week off.
Yeah, me and Dip will do it. I had a really scary nightmare the other night.
What happened?
All I remember is that there were like baby spiders in my skin, and I had to like cut my skin open to let all the spiders.
Dude,
out.
That is scary.
Freaky.
Yeah,
not enjoy
but they were babies. They were just little
babies. Well, otherwise, they're just going to live inside my skin.
And I'm here for that content.
Oh,
and
God.
The problem, and if there are a dream expert out there, I would say 1 in every 8 of my dreams involves me at a golf course, and either I can't hit the ball, or
no,
I show up without
dream.
Golf clubs,
okay.
Or... Just take a playoff.
Sorry, no, but it was funny if you had let it in. It was actually a good...
It wasn't that funny because I always hit the ball.
No, you putt sometimes.
Well, not off the tee.
No,
although,
pretty close.
Sands I did. I'll do it.
Pretty close.
If the par 3 is short enough, I will putt. Just one more quick aside as we're, you know, wasting
Abe said
time.
Abe said he wants to play with you.
I would love to play with Abe.
I know, he wants to play. Yeah. He wants to see.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to see. I'm like,
P.S. Abe,
I'm like, the
it's
guy's,
still my turn.
I'm like, the guy's got a Texas wedge that's longer than anyone I've ever seen in my life.
So the course Gamble Sands up there in eastern Washington, they have a hole that plays about 94 yards, and off the tee, it's all smooth fairway, undulating downhill.
Yeah, just putt that sucker.
And they encourage you to do that.
Oh.
When they put the pin in the front, they're like, you know, you should probably putt it.
Putt it.
I putted it.
How'd it go?
That's a 3-putt for the tee, made par.
Oh, okay.
A 3-putt, but
you put it out the box?
Only, you put it off the box.
That only counts as a 1-putt, though.
Yeah. Well, I hit it on the green, so it was a 2-putt.
Oh, you hit it on the green?
Yeah. Anyway.
Is that allowed? You're
totally.
Allowed to putt out of the tee box?
You putt wherever you want.
Wherever you
I
want.
Know.
Play the whole damn round with your putter if you want.
In some courses I play where the sand is maybe compacted and not so great, you putt out of the bunker.
Yeah, there are bunkers that you can putt out of.
No doubt.
Especially if it rained the day before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
You need minimal lip there.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm here for the Dream Journal show.
Okay.
And I don't know that I want an expert coming in to diagnose my dreams on the air.
Oh, I'm here for it. Yeah.
Weird stuff in there hidden.
Well, this would be a short conversation.
Spiders in your skin?
My conversation with the dream expert, they'd be like, you're dreaming every night. I'm like, no, I'm not. They'd be like, yes, you are. I'm like, no, I'm not. All right, that's the end of the show.
On to dibs.
Yeah. Well, back to you.
Just
like that. I got nothing. Literally, I can't even remember the last time that I remember a dream.
It's weird because...
Like, I have dreams when I'm awake.
There was a time...
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What? In my life,
I'd like to make more money. Yeah. I'd like to have more. You know, like I've got dreams. I've got goals, but I don't remember dreams.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Just back when I was a partaker of the lettuce, the hippie lettuce, never, ever, ever would I remember my dream. And in the post-lettuce era, I'd remember them all the time.
So is it that you stopped and now you remember your dreams, or do you dream a lot now because of all the time you spent on the lettuce?
No, the dreams would happen in the lettuce era, but you just don't remember them. And that's, I mean, that's a well-researched reality.
No, I've had that experience, so I know what you mean, but it sounds like you have it almost every night.
Well, now my dreams are, you know, 3 to 4 a night, and it's, like, last night's was just absolutely crazy lucid where I woke up, and I was like, am I still at the Curry House?
Yeah, that's something, for sure.
It feels chaotic. 3 or 4 dreams a night?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's fun, and most of them are...
It's fun.
Well, occasionally...
Not for Lucas. He's got baby spiders in his stomach.
Occasionally, I get a baby spider-esque kind of dream, but usually my nightmare is, like, I get to the course, and, like, I forgot my clubs, and it's like, how am I going to play? Or I get to a hole, and it's like, I don't know which way the hole goes, and, like, stupid golf dreams like that.
I'm really enjoying the text line right now.
Come at me, text line.
No. Looks like 216. Where the hell is that? Where's 21? Anyway,
LA, I think.
Had a dream. I was at LeBron's house for a barbecue. My kids tore up the house, and I was the last one picked for a pickup game with his kids.
Yeah.
Well, his kids are on the Lakers too, so like they're not going to pick you over him, even though he's not good enough for the NBA. He's good enough for backyard pickup, I think.
His kid?
Yeah, Bronny.
I do think that eventually he could be an NBA player.
He already is.
Well, I mean, I think he could be an actual player. And
I think he is.
I think he could be an actual player outside of the purview of his father.
Maybe.
I mean, he's done pretty well in the G League at times. And so, who knows? I've got nothing against nepotism. You've got 3 kids. And if one of your kids came to you and said, Dad, can you help me get a leg up in the business that we have? You would give him that leg up.
Oh, totally.
Now, it's a little bit different than, you draft my kid or else, which is, you know, the theory.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm in a position to hold a gun to anybody's head, but maybe someday. I don't know. But yes, I would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
If I felt that it was good for the kid, if I felt that the kid had earned it. But yeah, I would totally do that.
Sure.
I love it. Don't create, you know, things for the people. Everybody does that. Everybody does that. Parents are like, I hate nepotism. Next hour, they're calling the school to be like, no, not my kid. My kid, like, yes, you do that. You defend your people. That's just the way it works. I'm with you. I have nothing against
that. And it works differently depending on how good your kid is. I'm thinking about Ian Eagle and his son, Noah Eagle.
He's phenomenal.
Right. He went to Syracuse, and he was a broadcasting student. He did well. And then whether it was Nepo City or not, his kid is phenomenal.
His kid's great.
Yep. So same thing with Joe Buck. Like, Joe Buck is phenomenal. His dad happened to be one of the great broadcasters of the 70s and 80s. And so, yeah, Joe, you get a little bit of a nudge head start, but you're phenomenal. So what are we doing here?
Now, Skip Carey and Chip Carey? Eh.
And isn't there a Scott Carey and a Steve Carey? And
Lucas doesn't even. Do you even know who those guys are? Skip Carey and
Harry
Carey,
too.
There's a Carey on the AIDS broadcast, I know.
Yeah. No,
that's
I don't.
One of them?
I don't think so.
Skip it is. Grandson? Great nephew?
Oh, really? Skip used to do, it was Skip, right, that did the Braves on TBS when we were kids.
Yep.
This would have been before your time, Lucas. Yeah. And that's what, like, I have a thing against him because he was the voice. In fact, they used to call him the voice of evil because he, like, Superstation WTBS and the Atlanta Braves games were all on all the time. And this was at a time, for me, my sweet spot, early 90s, when the Braves and the Giants would go head-to-head. And the year that led to the establishment of the wild card team in Major League Baseball is when the Giants, in 1993, won 103 games and did not go to the playoffs.
Yep.
And it's because the Braves won 104. And Skip Carey was the voice of the Braves the whole time.
It's a 4.
I couldn't stand him. No fault of his own. Just circumstance.
Yep.
Anyway.
It went from Harry Carey to Skip Carey.
To Chip Carey.
And Chris Carey. Various other Careys. Yes.
Yeah. And then there was John Carey. He was a politician, no relation.
Right. Different spelling, but probably should be related.
Yeah. Anyway. That was fun.
Yep.
About 7
quick asides
there. I'm going to dream about that conversation later on tonight. Anyway, 888-957-9570. I wanted to point out a funny off-air conversation, and you'll think this is unfair, but I think it goes to the point I'm trying to make about Jimmy Butler. Lucas pops into our headsets there right as we're about to come back from break, and he's like, I'm going to play some highlights from the game when Jimmy Butler scored 38, and Dibs is like, which game? And Lucas is like, well, the play-in game against Memphis. And he's like, which game? He's like, the play-in game against Memphis. He's like, Jimmy scored 38 in that game? Yeah, Jimmy scored. And that's my point. That's my point. A lot of you have already forgotten what this guy did. You've already forgotten what he did because so many of us got so emotionally involved in this thing that now we're sitting here going, this Jimmy Butler guy is not an actual NBA star because he couldn't put a bunch of role players who were so clearly not ready for this moment. He couldn't all by himself go beat the Minnesota Timberwolves for a game, even though he's played next to zero games in this role with these players. And, oh, by the way, he's not at 100%. And now we're defining him to the point where, to a degree, and again, I'm admitting, I know you're going to say that's an unfair sort of characterization, but I do think we are forgetting what this guy did. We're forgetting what he did. We're forgetting where Warrior basketball was when he arrived.
We're not forgetting that at all.
I think we are.
I'm not. And you can, you know, paint that broad brush for whoever you want, but I got no paint on me. And in that same game, Steph Curry had 37 in the play-in game.
Right.
So, yeah, Jimmy had 38. He played alongside Steph Curry. My point is, when you don't have Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler has not shown consistently the ability to step forward and be the player that you would need somebody to be.
I don't know how you can use the word consistently when they're just
Well, you've had seven games.
That's not enough.
Well, it's enough for me to draw a conclusion based on what I've seen,
and the first
which
three,
is seven games.
And the first three, I would argue, are irrelevant because Steph Curry played all kinds of games without Jimmy Butler this year, and the team was incredibly frustrating and mid. If Steph Curry's out, you're dead. You're dead. That will be true with Giannis.
No, that's where I disagree.
Look at the box. What have they been able to do in the playoffs the last 3 years?
Well, he missed an entire playoff, not this year, but last
year. And what about
he was out the whole time?
And what about the other three playoff experiences that he has played in since they were successful coming out of the bubble? What about those other 3 years where Giannis, in fact, famously, I think it was two seasons ago, when they stunningly got beat in the first round, and he had that famous press conference moment when he was asked if it was a failure, and he went off on the reporter, and it was actually brilliant. By the way, I'm a huge Giannis fan. I think he's a wonderful human being, and I love the way that he carries himself. But if we're going to do that, Giannis has been in the playoffs healthy the last three times, and his output and results have been incredibly disappointing.
Well, his haven't been. It's been his team.
Well, that's what we're talking. That's the same as Jimmy.
We're talking about individuals. And Jimmy as an individual this year, without Steph Curry, was less than stellar. Mm. And you look at Giannis this year, Giannis, not the team. Yes, the team lost in five to Indiana. He went 36, 34, 37, 28, and 30. That's a guy who went out there and tried to impact a game and try to impact it in a winning way, and they didn't, and he lost Dame Lillard in game four, and the series was probably already over at that point, and that's just the way that goes. And the year before that, he went out there and he had 26 and 38 in a series against Miami where he was hurt. That was 2 years ago, and he went out and tried and exerted his will, and they lost. That's all I'm looking at from Jimmy
Butler. I know,
Butler.
But I think we're just oversimplifying this by making it all about their point total. That's not what great players always do. It's not even what Steph always does. Like, a great player is looking at a playoff game and thinking to themselves, how can I win this game? And sometimes that means I'm going to go score 40. And by the way, sometimes this develops even within the game. But sometimes that means, you know what, I'm going to have to get these people around me to knock some shots down. And so strategically, I may need them to XYZ. I might need them to take a couple shots early and see if they can find their strokes. LeBron has made a career out of this and been criticized for it sometimes. And I always try to defend that because I think that that's just wild. This idea that passing is awful if you're a dog and you need to go win a basketball game. That's not how you win a basketball game. So that's wonderful that Giannis got 30 and lost and Jimmy only got 19 and lost. Like, it's all a loss. And they're all trying to win the basketball game. And equating this to effort or I don't even know if you'd use a different word for it, you know, how forthright you're going to be out there, equating that point total to that, I think is a mistake. I just don't see it that way.
And it's not about being forthright. It's about looking to be impactful on the offensive end. And when you're Jimmy Butler and you don't have Steph Curry, I would look for him to be more impactful than a guy who shoots the ball nine times, especially when you look at what you have and you've got Kuminga, who you haven't really played with a lot, and he's coming in and he's going to try to score. You've got Pods in a funk. You've got Moody, who is a DNP. You've got Draymond Green, who's not a scorer. You go all the way down the roster. You don't have a lot of scoring options. So
exactly.
Guess what, Jimmy? You're the dude. You got brought in here and you got $110 million not to be a guy who shoots nine times without Steph Curry.
You know who would disagree with you is him. I'm very confident in that.
Right.
But
they went 0-4 without Steph Curry. So
right, but
you can disagree, but I would come back and say, well, you probably need to be that guy for this team to win.
Except for that he was that guy, as you've admitted in one of the games, and they didn't win that one either. Like,
but that was the closest they came to winning.
Right.
That was the best game that the team played is when he actually went out there and set about trying to be impactful.
That's fair, but I'd also argue that that was partially because, if not even more than partially because of the way Minnesota played. They were terrible in that game until the end, and then they were able to scratch and claw enough together and win the basketball game. But in the other two games, they didn't even give the Warriors a chance. They blew them off the floor.
The Warriors were up in game four, as you mentioned, at the
right,
half.
And then they blew them off the floor in like a breath. They came out in the second half and flicked them off the court. I can't put that on one guy and his offensive game.
I'm not putting it all on
him. Their defense got steamrolled by the Wolves in those games.
Well, they turned the ball over a ton in that third quarter. Yeah. And that's ultimately what led to the Wolves going on the run.
Jimmy's going to tell you, and has in fact said, like, stubbornly, I'm going to make the right basketball play. And I don't know if people just don't appreciate that. I love that in a player. I love seeing somebody who's trying, at least. I'm not saying he's always going to make the right decision. I get what a lot of you see when he gets under the hoop, seemingly drives all the way in and then kicks it out. And you're like, wait, dude, couldn't you have gone up or maybe gotten fouled there? I'm not saying I don't see that, but I appreciate a ball player who has all kinds of facets to his game and is trying to get everybody involved. Because I think even though we think of NBA games in terms of lead scorers and Michael Jordan type people, I really think you're not a great basketball team if you're not getting everybody involved. Everybody has got to contribute or you're not going to be good enough. And I think that's what Jimmy was doing and potentially even seeing the long play of it. You know, we all act like everybody just knew Steph was going to be back for game six. We didn't know that. Not for sure. You know, Jimmy may well have been trying to be like similar to what we've talked about in game two. Like, you're trying to find some sort of secret sauce here that will work. How can we beat Minnesota without Steph Curry? Can I be a dog? Okay, that didn't work. Can Jonathan score a bunch?
Right.
Okay, that didn't work. Can we get Pods going? Okay, that came too late. But it did happen, and they still didn't win. They tried a bunch of different things. They didn't win any of the games. Nothing worked. Him being a dog, a cat, a giraffe,
well,
nothing
worked.
Well,
the thing that was closest to them working was him being a dog.
Yes.
And he shot 26 times in that game. He made 12 of them. And then beyond that, he shot 20 times total in the remaining two games. So I don't know if it's just that he wants to make the right play. And that's great when you've got Steph Curry and you've got a full roster. But when you lose your star, sometimes it's not okay to just try to make the right play. Sometimes you got to make the wrong play in the interest of taking a game over when you are the new top dog on a team.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good, by Chilton Auto Body as well. 888-957-9570 is the number. We will continue to take your calls on this and Mark Schlereth in a half hour, but also some San Francisco Giants breaking news that we're going to share with you coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.